Ganamos partidos inolvidables, eliminamos a los que eran grandes, pusimos en la cancha garra y corazón, alentamos a 11 con pura pasión.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, and I'm joined by Raul Hinojosa-Hojeda, who is the founder and director of the North American Integration and Development Center at UCLA, where he researches the political economy of regional integration, focusing on Latin America. He is one of the people who originally proposed the North American Development Bank, which Mexico and the United States created in 1994. He joins us now from El Salvador. Welcome to Background Briefing, Raul Hinojosa-Hojeda.
It's a pleasure to be on your show.
And Raul, you've just been at President Obama's press conference in San Salvador. What were the highlights? Because I imagine there are questions about Libya, and of course, Libya has overshadowed this Latin American trip of the president's.
Right. Well, as is typical in these trips, the American press concentrated entirely on issues outside of Latin America. And in the entire questioning was on Libya, but the Latin American press is obviously very focused on U.S.-Latin America relations, which actually this represents a very significant trip for the president at a critical time in American relationships with in a very rapidly changing region politically. So he didn't make any significant news on Libya. But I thought what was the real news here is, of course, that he came and chose El Salvador, a very small country, 6 million people, but with a very violent political past where the guerrilla movements of the 1980s finally fought the oligarchies to a draw and created a political a situation where democracy, to a certain degree, was able to flourish. And now the left wing, the FMLN, the Farimundo Martí Liberation Front, is now a political party which has won the presidency and has won the Congress. And the president, Mauricio Funes, is now the most popular president in all of Latin America. And it's very interesting that Obama chose Funes, as well as Brazil, of course, and Chile, but Funes in particular as his anchor in terms of how to rethink a number of very critical issues having to do with left-right dynamics, the emerging new social democratic force as all of Latin America has moved to the left, and through that new political alliance dealing with very critical issues like immigration, remittances, narco-traffic, and poverty. And he's looking, I think, to establish a new type of a dialogue with new types of players, which could, if it works, could be extremely significant for American foreign policy going forward.
Did the president make the references to Libya in contrasting Latin America as countries that are discovering and developing democracy and economic fairness?
Exactly. I think that what was really significant about the trip, instead of talking the old language of U.S. foreign aid, the discussion now is the term is Alliance for the Future, and definitely saying, look, U.S. and the Americas share a very unique history, and as the world is becoming much more integrated, that type of shared values having to do with a non-Eurasian, if you will, both historical and political project are going to become even more important. And of course, the issue that, you know, 25 years, 30 years ago, virtually all of Latin America was military dictatorships, including this country. This country, El Salvador, was basically run by military oligarchic power since the 19th century. And recently, in the last 20 years, all of the military dictatorships have fallen, and as democracy expands, electoral democracy anyway, you have the emergence of left parties, and in almost all the major countries now having won the elections. Obviously, Brazil, the most important one, but really significant is, of course, Central America, where they, the you know, 20 years ago, this was the battleground for the origins of neoliberalism and Reaganism, with the U.S. military support of the the right wing military forces against a popular insurrection, with a guerrilla movement that was 50 years in the making, and now that new guerrilla movement becomes the interlocutor for many of the aspirations that the United States and clearly Obama wants to express in with respect to stabilizing and hopefully developing the region.
Again, I'm speaking with Raul Hinojosa Ojeda, who has just attended President Obama's press conference in El Salvador. He's the founder and director of UCLA's North American Integration and Development Center. The president, in his trip to Chile, was asked, of course, about America's legacy in terms of the pain that that country's gone through under Pinochet. And he while he didn't accept responsibility, he did say that he felt that the U.S. Would be open to offering up any information that the Chilean government had requested, but he didn't want to dwell on the past. He did, in terms of contrition, say words are easy, and I know that there has been times where perhaps the United States took the region for granted. Any contrition today?
Well, actually, as we speak at this very moment, the president is visiting the tomb of Monsignor Romero, right? The Archbishop of El Salvador that was murdered while he was giving mass by the right-wing death squads. The founder, actually, of the right-wing party, Arena Gabuzon, has been now found to be the intellectual author of that. It's extremely significant that at this moment the president is at the cathedral. He didn't have to do this. It has created a huge stir in this country and throughout Latin America, as Monsignor Romero, who basically decided in a declaration of liberation theology to support the insurrection and paid with his life, is now increasingly seen as one of the critical heroes of this new democracy movement and progressive change. And the fact that that the president would look back, this is in fact the 23rd anniversary of his murderer, in fact, and would choose this as a centerpiece of his trip, I think is extremely significant. And it's curious, the language that he used as terms of why he's doing this, he sees Monsignor Romero as a Martin Luther King figure for Latin America, for the fighting for the poor. So this goes way beyond, I think it's a very personal thing for him too, way beyond anything that you would expect American foreign policy. In just a very few years, a really dramatic change. It was almost worth supporting Obama for this. You know, obviously, there's another dimension of what he's doing, which is with Funes, who is of the left party, was elected as a part of the left party, is not actually a member of the left party. He's sort of seen as a center-left figure. But obviously, there is that dimension of Obama and American foreign policy supporting the good left versus the bad left, the Chavista forces. But there is, nevertheless, the point is the focus of American foreign policy by shifting to support this type of good left is literally generations light years away of where American foreign policy was just 25 years ago. So I think that there is an indication, and like in Brazil, when he meets with the president of Brazil, who herself was a left wing guerrilla leader who was in prison and tortured, and is now the leader of one of the biggest economies in the world, a critical player for the United States as it redefines its position within a rapidly multipolar world economy is an indication that that U.S. has actually very little choice, but in fact is now trying to figure out how it can actually make alliance with this emerging new social democratic political project, which involves bringing people out of poverty, which involves a wide series of different types of social, very visible hand of the social policy being critically involved in the future of the economy. Again, very different than even just 15, 20 years ago with the focus on free trade as the cornerstone of the relationship between the U.S. and Latin America. It's an extremely important thing to keep in mind. The other thing that was kept on coming up and up and up, and in fact there's a number of demonstrations in the streets today about this, is immigration policy, right? You have immigration, a very important issue in this country. About a third of the population is living outside of the borders. About close to 20% of GDP is completely dependent on remittances, and therefore the issue of moving the Salvadorian population, which is a huge population in LA, second largest Latino population there, it has a very important role in the dialogue, and the president had to strongly reaffirm his commitment to having comprehensive immigration reform, discussing the fact that he wanted to, and he needs to move the Republican Party, that even just when he was in the Senate, he pointed out a few years ago, had voted with Democrats and Republicans for immigration reform, and that he feels the pressure. And the pressure is not just from this country. He feels the pressure politically to deliver for the brothers and sisters of the families here that he's speaking to in El Salvador and the Latino population, which is of critical importance. So the trip had a definite domestic political force as well, as seeing that he is the spokesman of that other alliance of the future, which is dynamic as the policies he's playing with Latinos in the U.S.
And Raul Hinojosa Ojeda, in Chile, he talked about improved cooperation in fighting criminal gangs, trafficking drugs and guns, and illegal immigrants. And, of course, some of that flies in the face of what's happening in Mexico with the 34,000 deaths in the drug war there, which is clearly failing. Did he bring up the drug war? Because I know there's a problem between the U.S. and El Salvador over some of the street gangs that keep going back and forth, getting arrested and deported and redeported.
Well, this is an extremely violent country right now. In fact, more people are dying now than during the Civil War. And a lot of it has to do with street crime connected to Los Angeles. And the danger that they are trying to avoid is that the narco-trafficking gangs, which were basically pushed out of Colombia by Plan Colombia of the United States, and the narco-trafficking groups in Mexico, which are being pushed out of Mexico by Plan Merida, is now going to Central America. So part of what was announced here was Plan Central America. Unfortunately, they announced $200 million of strategic military police aid to try to combat the trafficking. The irony, of course, which was pointed out by a number of analysts, we were speaking at a conference yesterday on this issue at the National University, is that while the United States is trying to enlist Central America now in a new strategic struggle against smuggling, the United States is also now, the Obama administration particularly, actually is now deporting more people than did the Bush administration. They are spending more money on ICE and repressive border measures than did the Bush administration. The irony there is that only what that results in is actually increasing the price that the immigrants that the U.S. economy needs to cross into the U.S. to do the work is now going to feed the smuggler economy. All right. So now smuggling, which used to be almost an artisanal practice of how you would get across the border in Tijuana, now relies entirely on traffickers, professional high cost traffickers that take people through the Arizona desert. That is a direct result of American policy. So there's an ironic contradiction in terms of what the United States is trying to do on the one hand, in terms of dealing with these drug issues, and what people are beginning to say is that we need a process, obviously, of immigration reform. The more quickly you move towards immigration reform and let people flow back and forth across the border, that would actually reduce the income that the smuggling gangs are developing. And of course, moving towards legalization of drugs would also move a long way. So that unfortunately, even Obama, we're still stuck in a sort of police state view of how to deal with the issues of integration between the United States and Latin America, rather than really coming up with a new forms of empowerment. Particularly, immigrant empowerment would be an extremely positive impact for the U.S. economy. We're actually releasing a study on Thursday in Washington at the UCLA Naep Center, where we show that if Arizona was actually able to deport the people that they claim they want to deport through SB 1070, it would cause $100 billion in economic decline in the state. And by the way, 2 weeks later, we're going to release something similar about California and Los Angeles. The alternative of incorporating people, legalizing the flow, empowering workers and empowering migration remittances, the money that people send back, to actually be able to be invested, taking it out of the hands of the informal economy in Western Union and putting it into microfinance and development, that would be a real alliance for the future, which the administration is beginning to look to as an alternative. But they have—they're only taking small steps at this point. But it's at least they're having to focus on it, and the solutions are becoming clearer that the same old practices won't work. And I hope that that's one of the important lessons that the president takes away from his trip.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today in Los Angeles, Raul Hinojosa Ojeda.
Thank you. Very good. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I've been speaking with Raul Hinojosa Ojeda, who is the founder and director of the North American Integration and Development Center at UCLA. He joined us from El Salvador after having just been at President Obama's press conference there. Let's take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about the AT&T and T-Mobile merger.